Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Robert Cray bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and ageofthecustomer.com. That's the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer. Rick Newman is our guest, the author of Rebounders, columnist for Yahoo Finance, a very prolific columnist, and I love having him on the show to talk to us about some of the things he's been writing about and working on lately. Rick, thanks again for hanging out with us. And it's yahoo.com/finance, is that right?
It's finance.yahoo.com.
There you go. The other way around, folks. Put the finance in front, as it should be. Rick, there's been a lot of noise in the last year or so about the middle class and whether the middle class is in retrograde, whether the middle class is losing ground as we continue this slow, whatever this is, recovery, whatever. And you wrote a piece about this recently. Tell us about that.
There's some new analysis out I saw from Bank of America Merrill Lynch, and they were talking about the effects that the top 1% of earners and really the top 0.1% of earners are having on some of the data we use to measure the economy and to measure the well-being of the middle class. So what they're finding is that the incomes of the super rich have become so large that they're actually skewing the averages that we use to measure
wow.
the whole economy. This has always been the case. I mean, there have always been rich people, and they have always had some effect on the averages, but it's becoming so pronounced that some economists are saying it's not even worth looking at these averages.
So you're saying that their incomes are so great that they're actually pulling the numbers of the middle class up, even though the reality isn't there.
They're pulling the average numbers up, and we think that refers to the middle class, but it doesn't anymore. And I'll give you an example. The data gathered by the Federal Reserve on household net worth, this is all the assets in the country combined, show
yeah.
that the average household has a net worth of $710,000.
Right.
Okay, now people hear that and they say, you got to be kidding me. I'd be lucky if I have $7,000 worth of net worth after what's happened the last couple of years. That is, the reason that number is so high is because the net worth is two things. It's financial assets mostly and home equity. And the wealth have just, the income they're getting from financial assets has exploded during the last 5 years, mostly on account of the stock market, which has pulled that number way up. I think we can just intuitively say the typical middle-class family doesn't have a net worth of $710,000,
right.
but that's
right.
what the number shows.
Right. Yeah, no, so what is the answer to getting a good number? Is it to lop off the top half percent? Or
I'm not sure we can do that, because what do you compare that with in the past when we didn't do it that way?
Yeah,
I think you use an asterisk. Yeah, I guess. Just be very skeptical of these numbers and understand we have to look at this more than just a few numbers. Let me give you one other one, Jim, that I think is interesting. We hear about the savings rate, which is supposedly an important measure of whether people can put money aside for retirement, put money aside for their kids' education, and so forth. The savings rate for lower-income people is effectively zero. For middle-income people, it's about 3%, but for the wealthy, it's 30%. So, another instance where people who can save a lot of money because they have so much have pulled the average figure up, but that does not tell you how the typical family is doing. So, many families just they can't save a penny because they're spending everything just to get by. So, we just need to understand what's going on.
Well, see, this is starting to encroach over into my Wall Street Main Street discussion that I like to have, because I think what we're talking about here, when we talk about the top, as you alluded to a minute ago, when we talk about the top half percent, top 1%, a lot of their wealth is held in equities, probably, and or at least
financial assets,
at least securitized financial assets, And right. whereas most small business, most people on Main Street, they may have some mutual funds, they may have some stuff in the 401k, but that's not a big part. It actually might be a big part of their net worth, which is not very much, right? I mean, if their net worth is $300,000, and they've got $100,000 in a 401k, then that's a third of their wealth, right? So,
if you're talking about the middle class, the biggest asset for the middle class traditionally has been a home.
Used to be, right?
Used to be, and if you get deeper into the data, what you can see is the total value of financial assets is way above the previous high before the recession. The total value of home equity is still below, well below where it was before the recession. So if that's the biggest asset for middle class people, they still have not regained all the value lost in that
right.
big asset.
But the problem is that whenever things correct, and we know that it will in the financial markets, the top 0.5%, they may lose their wealth, but they won't lose their self-determination. Whereas out here on Main Street, out here on Main Street, you know, when that same thing happens to everybody, it hurts our small businesses because the economy goes down. It hurts our wealth because people get laid off, et cetera, et cetera. And so this is where I think one of the big disparities is. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, you're totally right. And by the way, this is going to happen at some point. We are going to have a market correction that is going to take some of that extra wealth away from the wealthy. But they can afford it.
It means is they might have to vacation in the north of France instead of the south of France.
That's it.
That's the difference between those guys. Whereas out here on Main Street, it makes a difference on whether we might have taken a vacation when times were better. When after the crash, the next one that happens, we might not have a job. Tintail, right back after these messages. I want to get Rick to talk to us about crony capitalism. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.